Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? That's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man! Happy Tuesday, and we got a lot to get to today, guys, including what the Braves looked like last night. Yes, I know it was an inter-squad scrimmage, but or baseball game to say. A scrimmage would be a football game, but Mike, a lot to learn and a lot to see last night. With that, we're getting ready for Atlanta United on Thursday. So as we've said, we're getting ready for sports, and we're already there actually with MLS, getting back on the field. Also today, guys, we will get an update on college football from our buddy Brett McMurphy, college football insider, long time with ESPN, and now he's with Stadium Network. But I'm curious to see what Brett has to say about the college football, at least the state of college football right now, Mike, because the SEC, as we found out yesterday, you know, they're not ready to make any announcements.
Yeah, I don't think there's any rush. I mean, those that are out there, and again, there's a combination of fans that obviously like us that want sports, and then there's the reality of it. And then there's also media and there's other types that are like, nothing but, oh, this is crazy. This season is over. We're not there yet, okay? We may get there, but I don't know why we got to rush that. You know what I mean? Like, why are we rushing to the funeral of the football season, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the SEC is taking a more pragmatic look. And look, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, it might be a foregone conclusion, but I still agree with people with the SEC that said, let's see where it goes, see what we can do. I do like the fact that Georgia and Georgia Tech said, look, guys, I mean, it makes no sense if we're going to go to Columbia, Missouri. Why the hell can't we go to, you know, Atlanta or vice versa? So at least some of the rivalry games looks like they're not as their future's not as in much doubt as it would have been like a week ago, Carl. That's good news.
No doubt, guys. We come your way live from our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia. Mike, I got to share this as we get the show started, because Craig, I literally, as we've been at home, obviously, with everything that's been going on, so I was literally dialing up to the radio station, and Craig was like, I was a little worried about you, because I dialed up a little close to the showtime. Mm-hmm. And I said to Craig, yeah, I can't talk that loud. I'm getting like you now. I'm in my own damn house and I can't even talk that loud. So literally, like, we had this dimmer switch go out, right? And so Michelle's been on me about, you know, getting this dimmer switch. Can you go get a dimmer switch? Yeah. So today I run out, I get one. She is going to be the electrician and change it out. It's not that hard. Point is, why did she try to turn the power off right before showtime and killed everything in my, like, I'm literally looking at stuff. Everything just goes blank. So I'm like screaming, yo, this is not the time. I didn't know that was the switch. Of course you didn't. You don't know anything about the fuse box. So anyways, yeah. I literally literally dial in. Craig can attest to this, like a minute before the show starts. Craig, am I lying about this?
No, you're 100% right. What was crazy is afterwards we found out that the real reason she cut the switch is because she wanted Antonio Banderas to come back to work in the house again.
That's it. Swarthy Latin man with no shirt on to continue working on
the kitchen. You know what? That's 3 months of my life that I'll never give back, okay? But so I'm saying this because I'm telling Craig, and Craig's like, sounds like first world problems over there because I'm complaining. My email's not up.
Oh, dude. I can raise that because you know me, bro. I'm like a race car immediately in the red. You've all seen that's why I had to go to anger management. I got a hair trigger. I mean, I'm, as the Beastie Boys sang, I truly am Buddy Rich when I fly off the handle. So earlier today, Microsoft, and again, I don't know anything about IT. You know that. I mean, if you listen to the show, I'm the least tech-savvy 51-year-old man probably in Metro Atlanta. So today, like an upgrade came on my Microsoft or whatever. And again, I go on Twitter, I go, anybody know anything about this? And immediately, why do you even have Microsoft? Why are you even dealing with that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know anything. Nothing was working. I get my wife over here. So I want to give a shout out to the, not only is she obviously Becky, we call her Becky Crocker, right, Carl? Because she can cook. She's Becky Villa, for those who remember Bob Villa, the Fix-It guy. And now she's also Becky IT. She got everything fixed. She says, just go away. She's like, stop over my, get off my shoulder. Stop screaming. Just go do something. So I went to the gym. I come back. She had everything working. So hats off to the IT department here at Shenanigans Radio. And also, I got, you know what her big reward was, Carl? I bought her lunch.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah,
I mean, you
Jimmy
know.
John's got her a sandwich.
That's fair.
Thanks to Becky. So she fixed that. There you go. So one end, you got somebody cutting the power on you. This one fixing everything. So yeah.
Well, and here's the deal. I'll probably, I got to whisper because I know she's listening. I'll probably be the one to end up fixing this thing. Like, she'll try to fix it. It won't work. She'll cut the power to somewhere else, and then I'll have to figure it out. I'm just looking behind my back in case she's coming in here. Okay. So, anyways, that's how my show started. We are glad that you are here, guys. Find us on social media. I just retweeted something Craig sent me, and I said, who did this? Who puts out an entanglement playlist? Who does this, Craig? I mean, come on, man. This is you guys got to stop. This is just not right.
And by the way, the viral videos, Craig sent me one to Craig. That's at CCV for the single ladies out there, or even ladies that aren't single and just looking for some excitement. Craig provides that at CCV. But Craig sent me
CCV 19.
CCV, sorry, check that.
Wow, you're really trying to get the hookup, huh?
Again, if you're a lady who likes a man who brings a lot of steam to the bedroom but doesn't have a checking account, Craig would be your man. So get on that. But Craig sent me this viral video of they overdub Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, and it's freaking
it
hysterical.
Is.
Now it's too dirty to play on the radio. We'd have to bleep everything. But I watched that today. I showed a buddy of mine at the gym today. My buddy Ron is freaking crying, laughing. So yeah, man, it's that good stuff, Craig.
It's
everybody's
funny.
Going in on this.
Well, and again, it does have a factor to it that is clownable. Okay, I mean it really is. That's what's going on. People are clowning. But the other side of it, like I said, and we're talking about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett that came out. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, Mike, that they busted like the record for 24-hour views on Facebook. Like, for everybody who says, oh, I don't care about that stuff, it's amazing that they got all these views and people were all into the business. But, I just retweeted that. But follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See, Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Now, as you guys, you know, we've been saying the Braves. I am excited about the season. I am disappointed that they weren't able to get a deal earlier. We know how this all worked out. We know that the commissioner stuck his foot in his mouth after saying we were only going to play 60 games, you know, from the jump. But the reality is we're going to have baseball here in about a week. And for last night, for the first time, we got a chance to see some of our Brave stars. And Mike Soroka. Looked the part, man. He looks like he's going to be an ace in this league.
Yeah, man. Freed is my guy, Soroka. I mean, pick one, flip a coin. I mean, in my world, it's those two, and then it's Faulty. And again, I don't even know if we're going to see Cole Hamels this year. I don't know what Cole. We heard that Cole Hamels last week has been working with guys and helping Max Freed with his off-speed pitches and stuff and changing of speeds. And that's great. I just hope we're going to get to see this guy, because if ever there was a guy in MLB, Carl, who deserves to be prorated, it's Cole Hamels right now. One thing last night, and I said this on Twitter, I was like totally down on baseball during the whole rigmarole of management versus players. And then watching some of that last night, I'm like, oh, man. I was thinking, imagine being out at the Battery, having a cold beer, having a cocktail somewhere, and then afterwards. And I'm like, you know what? Even though I was going to be like, baseball, schmaceball, I can't quit it. I just can't. Matter of fact, I was a little nervous in the service last night when Pache slides in a second last night. It looked like he blew his knee out, didn't it?
I know. It did. And thank God he's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm with you, man. There are some positives. Here's the thing that we still don't know. Who's playing third base? Camargo goes deep last night. And again, this is an inter-squad game, okay, which means you're playing against and pitching against guys and hitting against guys you're familiar with. It doesn't make it any easier, I don't think, but you are familiar with what guys like to throw, and you're practicing against them all the time. It's sort of like, you know, football practice with the Falcons. Guys jump routes because they know, you know, Matt's timing, and they kind of get a sense of it. It makes it, you know, you can read things a little bit easier. With that said, Camargo goes deep. Mike, we still don't know if Austin Riley or Camargo is going to be our everyday third baseman. We've been talking about this prior to COVID for like 8 months now.
Yeah, and I hate the platoon thing, and I just don't. I mean, I want to see one guy. Look, and it can work. And, you know, just I always get nightmares of how Bobby Cox, like, took it to, like, the, you know, like Bible, you know, like gospel. You had to do it. But, yeah, we'll see. You'd love to see one guy emerge, and you'd love to see Austin Riley. But, again, in this 60-game season, as we said, if anybody's hitting a real rough patch, see ya. You know, you got to ride the pine or go down. I mean, there's no Gwinnett. He's going to go take batting practice right all week to try to work yourself out of it. So it's a great question. I don't know how we're going to be exactly handling that. I did also want to mention Travis d'Arnaud.
Yep.
You know, he's not like he's like 50. This guy's 31, you know, and I know that, you know, he's had some stops along the way, but this is a guy that, you know, looks like he's still got, you know, this is his third team. Actually, fourth team. He was with the Rays last year. But he's a dude who still has, looks like he's got some home run pop, which, again, for his career, maybe, I don't know, 63, but I know this guy, and I've heard Dave O'Brien and other guys talk about how he's really seeing the ball well at this ballpark. Maybe it'll be just a thing for this guy.
Yeah, we're talking about catcher Travis d'Arnaud. 16 home runs in 17, 16 in 19. In 18, guys, he was injured and didn't play pretty much. I mean, he played like four or five games. So that's what Mike's talking about. The injury set him back, but from an age standpoint, no, he's not an old dude, and I do think he can help this team. The other guy that I was impressed with, again, last night, and I don't want to, you know, make this bigger than it is. Again, it's an inter-squad game.
But you want to see guys look good, okay?
That's right.
You want to see
a guy
go up there
and
look like he's flailing at the plate, all that stuff.
But Ozuna, Mike, he's a professional hitter, dude. This is we saw him last year with the Cardinals. You look at his career numbers. I think, again, Alex Anthopoulos did something where everybody just said, oh, we're losing Josh Donaldson. And I hated it because I thought Donaldson fit in perfect here, but you got to go get your money. But Ozuna, I think, steps right in and gives us similar production. I really do. He looked good as well in this inter-squad game.
Right. So as we said, now we get the chance. What, next week we'll get the Marlins in here for a couple, and then it's going to count. So looking forward to seeing where this team goes. At first, I was kind of like, you know, harumphing all the nonsense, as I said earlier, with, you know, how it took forever. And then we later, as you guys talked about last week, you find out that Rob Manfred's negotiating in bad faith. But then, you know, like when you finally get down to brass tacks, all that stuff goes away and you're a little kid and it's baseball and you're excited. Like I was even last night just to see the pictures of the ballpark, of Truist Park.
Yeah, it's weird still. It was weird with MLS and the pumped-in crowd noise, and it'll be weird with no fans, but it's competition, and that's the thing we crave. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always text us. Find us across all social media platforms. 929 The Game, guys, is the radio station. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And as we mentioned, Brett McMurphy is going to join us at 3 o'clock. We'll push our NFL Blitz back. We normally do it at 3 o'clock. To around 3:20 today, and there's a lot going on with the NFL, including Greg Olsen becoming the newest analyst at Fox. We'll tell you all about that and the latest on Dak Prescott's potential contract as well. Hey, man, we'd love to hear from you guys on a Tuesday. Craig, are you playing this playlist? Are you really going to play the Entanglement playlist?
It's going to be all infidelity today. It's going to be high infidelity. We'll already go speedwagon off right here on Dukes and Bell.
My favorite is Drew Hill, Somebody in My Bed, but that's just me. All right, man, coming up, we'll hit some headlines and tell you what is going to happen with the NBA. We already had a couple of screw-ups. It's next. Nothing like escape. You're my little secret. Craig is behind the glass today, our engineer. He is playing the Entanglement playlist, which we will hear throughout the course of the afternoon. Craig and I were just chopping it up, Mike, talking about some of the songs on this on this playlist. You guys will get a chance to hear him. But, yeah, man, I was just saying, you know, some of this stuff was banging. Well, still is, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, Carl, there's truth in the message, you know, and as we know, that anytime a song tells a story, usually it's a hit.
This is true. I agree.
Also, by the way, I was telling Craig during the break, I got to hear Ray Parker Jr. I'm in love with the other woman, which, by the way, is a fantastic jam, which is one of my favorite hooks. I love that song.
The last time we played that, you got in trouble, though. That's when we played it when you were going to that wedding for your friend. And
yeah.
It was the,
oh, man, you know, that situation. Oh, my God. And by the way, for those who didn't remember, this is what it was like. Was that like last summer or like I forget. My buddy gets married down in Tampa, and he had been cheating on his wife with his executive assistant at this.
Yeah, whatever you want to call her.
I bet she's a paralegal, and then she turned into a full-blown legal.
I bet she did.
Yeah. Anyway, so you got all the wives who knew the ex, and now you got the hot young thing, and this is her first wedding, so she wants to swing for the fences. And we're down there in St. Pete at the Don Cesar, this beautiful old hotel. And, of course, all the wives are just angry and snippy. And it was like half the invites were a no-show. It was just like the tension was palpable. So, yeah. And, you know, I got a bunch of friends that went through that. That's why I said, Carl, for what it's worth, give me some credit on this one, boys and girls. I waited till I was 45 because I'm still an idiot, but I was an even bigger idiot up until about, 10 years ago.
Yeah, listen.
Like personal growth. I mean, responsibility. Yeah. Being true to something. Sticking with it. Not cheating. Not looking at that young 20-something wearing the yoga pants at the gym today on the stair. What?
I was going to say, what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Is that a flashback right there?
I'm totally committed except for when I'm at the gym. No, man, you know what? I mean, for me, and I've got friends in various age groups that have gotten married, some divorced two and three times. And like the third time is the perfect time. Like the third wife and the third is perfect. So it's just about finding that right person. It's not about age for me. I mean, there are people who've been together, Mike, since they're 19 and honeymoon, sweethearts and all that high school, and they haven't had a perfect life together. And then there are others who've been married six times, you know? So I don't know if age is the thing. I think it's just finding that right person. You found the right person. I found one. I think that's what we're all looking for. Craig is currently looking.
Craig ain't looking for nothing. Craig having fun. Let me be.
Craig's looking right now. That's what Craig's always looking for, man.
So yeah, man. But speaking of tension in the house, so I told you, I guess these walls must be thin. She heard everything I said.
Of course.
Everything I said about the power going off. So then she goes, well, you know, I installed all of the dimmer switches in this house. I'm like, no, you didn't. I did that. She goes, no, you called somebody. I go, okay, so I called somebody. That means I installed it. Okay? Just because I'm not Mr. Electrician around here doesn't mean anything. And I'm tired of whispering. I'm going to say what I need to say. If she hears me, that's so what?
I want to hear. I'm looking forward to hearing this. You go. You are Carl. Hear him roar. There you go, buddy. Take
so,
a
Mike, you gonna be able buddy. when his microphone cuts out, you gonna be able to carry the chef with us real quick? Just a couple seconds.
She turns the power off again on this program.
No doubt. It's all good, man. 404-741-0929. I want to say one thing. We'll get to some headlines. The NBA. This is the problem, America. Mm-hmm. America.
America.
We're selfish, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about. You have guys who are still making significant amounts of money put into a beautiful bubble down at Disney. People are serving them hand over foot. Mike, they're eating like kings down there. And you've got two idiots, mm-hmm. one from the Rockets, one from the Kings. Rashawn Holmes is from the Kings and Bruno Caboclo is from the Rockets. Both of these guys have already left the bubble and jeopardized themselves, and now they've got to quarantine an additional 10 days before they can do anything else. Well, idiots!
Like I said, this is something that we talked about. I think it was I think it was said on the Braves. It might have been Duval. Anyway, somebody said it to Dave O'Brien. I'll look it up. He's saying, look, there are these parameters. They put out these rules, and we got to follow it. You know, I mean, we got to obey it. And if we don't, we're going to have problems. And that's exactly where we're at. So, yes, when I said this the other day, I thought baseball players, it was Adam Duvall. He said, quote, Carl, there's guidelines that we all have to follow. We're kind of leaning on each other as far as it's a collective thing. Everybody's got to buy in and everybody's got to do the right thing. That's a great way to put it. But you got guys. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, all athletes, because I just said I'm a now 51-year-old man child. But you got guys who are immature. They are man children. They're selfish. They're brats. They just are, okay? They have a specific skill set which has given them this life of entitlement, and that's good. They can do something other guys can't do. But this is a situation which calls for people to man up and grow up, and good luck with that. That's the problem we're going to have, and that's why you can apply that, Carl, to college football. And can people do the right – can you ask people to be responsible who have a hard time being responsible?
No, Mike, it's a microcosm of what's going on in our country. It really is. I mean, here's the thing. People would tell you, well, they make a lot of money. So what?
Yeah,
what does it have to do with anything about making decisions that people are trying to put you in the best position to be successful? Hey, if you want to complete the season, this is how we're going to have to do it. They put out a 113-page memo saying this is what's going to happen. If you're not familiar, when the NBA guys got down there, all right, so let's just say Lakers, they left L.A., they got to their hotel rooms, they had to be in their hotel rooms for 48 hours without even leaving. That was the start of this whole bubble thing. So these guys, I mean, you're not even 2 weeks in, Mike. No games have been played, and you got idiots already going, well, I wanted some food. You're getting food. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
We read the rider, all the stuff that were the demands. And again, look, you've earned the right. These guys can, as I said, I'm not a player hater. I'm just saying now, look, these are extenuating circumstances. Who can man up and who can be responsible? And let's be honest. As I said, when you have guys that, I mean, I'm not trying to, that's what I want people to be like, you're killing the athletes. No, look, if I was 18 or 19 and I could do something no one else could do and people are kissing my ass my whole life, good. You think I'm going to grow up all of a sudden? No, you're not. So that's what we're dealing with now. So we'll see, man. The situation for the NBA is you've got guys that you're going to have to really, ride them hard on this one. And there are some of these guys, I wonder, are some guys just going to look at this and eventually just tap out? That'll really be the ultimate buzzkill. When guys are in there and say, I can't do this anymore. Then we're going to be like, what? You know, a paid vacation, dude.
That's it.
You're not at a Motel 6, okay? You're at a luxury resort down at Disney World.
It's unbelievable. All right, man. And you know, I saw some of these guys complaining about the food while I was gone last week. I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, people out of work? Like, people are wondering if they're able to go to the grocery store, and you're down at Disney worried about what they're serving you?
That's the thing. I mean, we've talked about this. Barkley brought it up the other day in the interview he did on CNBC, amongst other things. You know, just saying, like, you got a bunch of guys that are just emotionally, they're children. These are little kids.
Oh, man. All right, it is Dukes and Bell. Just wanted to state that. If you hadn't heard that story, and this is why this whole bubble thing, and listen, guys said it from the jump. This bubble thing probably wouldn't work. It may or may not. I don't know. We'll see. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, Craig, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys. Braves inter-squad a game last night. You got a chance to watch it. What about Pache, Mike? I mean, we talked about him, being injured. He seems to be okay, but didn't he look good in the limited time you got a chance to see him?
I know that earlier this spring training, we heard from Brian Snitker. He said that, this is before we knew what we were going to be dealing with COVID-19, but he thought that both these guys at some point were going to be asked and were going to be called on to contribute, and they are, and they will, and especially if, because of the Markakis now hole that leaves in the lineup there or in the roster, there's a chance for these guys to be major contributors, and Pache looks good. Luckily, last night, as bad as it looked on TV, according to what Snitker and the Braves said, it's just a little bit of a sprain. He should be okay.
Let's hear from Brian Snitker, our manager, talking about Mike Soroka.
He feels good. I like the fact that he had to work a little bit today. You kind of breeze through these things, and opening day is the first time that you're going to get in trouble. It was good for him to have to work through some innings.
So I agree with Snick. He looked good. Again, I think we're going to be all right. And here's the thing. With a shortened season, you can manage the bullpen completely different. You could even throw a bullpen starter out there if you wanted to for an inning or so. Mm-hmm. There's so many varying things that could play out. And I'm just curious to see how Snick does it. Speaking of Mike Soroka, let's hear from him and what he thought about his performance yesterday.
Felt good. It felt pretty close, really, to be honest with you. Anytime you get out there, and you're facing hitters, really, especially when they're hitters that are gonna talk to you after they get a hit. That's kind of something that motivates you to keep pounding it. And to be honest with you, it felt pretty close to a real game.
Headlines brought to you by our friends at Harley-Davidson. Harley-Davidson wants to help you learn how to ride a motorcycle at hdpersonalcoachfinder.com. Set up a private one-on-one lesson today. Mike, we talked a lot yesterday about Greg Sankey. Here is what the commissioner of the SEC said after meeting with all of the ADs. All right, Mike, he said it just froze. So basically, Greg Sankey saying, we will take our time. It's something we will know a little bit more in a few weeks, but they're watching closely the numbers and all the trends that are going on around the country. Bottom line is, guys, we didn't get really anything yesterday. Here's Sankey.
I don't know that it's every conference for ourselves, but obviously people made decisions. So I don't – we've talked enough, and I've talked to so many people, and I'm used to long days, so I'm in great shape for the long days. But I observed that what happened in March is a really good indicator of what may happen as we look towards the fall, which is groups of universities, conferences, made independent decisions. Now, we all ended up at the same destination, and you'll recall in a very compressed period of time, those decisions were announced, and they were made and then announced at different times. And I indicated that's a good example of what we could see this summer, and lo and behold, that's what's happened. Now, whether we all end up at the same destination remains to be seen.
Mm. Now, we talked about it, you know, when the Big Ten first decides to go conference only and then the ACC follows suit. You and I just talked about it. I said, okay, I mean, that might be where we go. We may not have college football. I just don't know why we've got to rush to these decisions as bad as things look. And some people say you're just postponing the inevitable, but I like what he's saying. He said, look, they're doing their thing. We might wind up in the same boat, but right now, here's how we're pursuing it. We're looking for some positives. If we get some positives, we'll be in a good position, and we can just keep playing for time until you got to come to nut-cutting time, as you would say, right?
Yeah, and listen, it sounds like a long time. We've been saying this for months now. Oh, we got time. It's not.
Well, no.
It's not.
The hour hand is, you know, we're getting at 12 o'clock, man. You know, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, 2 weeks we should know. And again, I don't know if that decision is going to change from maybe what it was yesterday privately in that room. It is our headline segment, guys, brought to you by our friends at Harley Davidson. We're going to talk more about the NFL. They are going to unveil an Oakley mouth shield. What is it, and is it going to work? We'll tell you more about it in our NFL Blitz. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider, will talk to us about the state of college football and what he thinks about where this thing is going. Coming up next, though... Good song. We got to talk about what Charles Barkley mentioned. Mike talked about it. Is the NBA going too far with allowing players to put what they're allowing on their jerseys, on the court? We're going to talk about it next.
My man is your man. Your man is our man too. My man is my man.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's the Entanglement playlist that Craig is bumping today. Glad to have you listening on a Tuesday. We're going to talk some college football coming up at 3 with our buddy Brett McMurphy. And again, I don't know, Mike, how he feels. You guys had on Pat 40 while I was out. What did Pat say about the college football season? Did he feel like we're going to have one?
No, he, you know, and by the way, Pat's not, it's funny because everyone always looks at, like, you know, there seems like there's agendas, you know, when you, depending on how you read it. And again, you can turn anything into an agenda based on your agenda, right? But there's guys like Dan Walken. He's been like doom and gloom. And yeah, we have Dan on the show, and he lives in Metro Atlanta, spends his time here. But, you know, his stuff is like negative Nelly straight out right at the jump. You know, we're done. They can't do this, can't do that. And 40 to me is like us. He's pragmatic / positive. But from all the people he spoke with, the interview, the article he wrote in Sports Illustrated last week, really just says, I mean, you know, it's probably not going to be able to happen. And he gave all the different reasons. It's interesting. I thought the financial aspect of it. Can't you just, you know, dip into, you know, your endowment, and you can't do that. That's really, you know, that's not what it's not for sports. It's not for the athletic department. So he was just talking about how, you know, the big picture is we're really going to have a hard time getting this to come off. Yeah. Unless we start getting some really good information and, you know, we start getting some positive tests. From what I read today, and again, you and me read the same stuff every day. I just read an article. I got it for Guy Talk in New York and in California. And I'm not blaming young people, because if I was a young people, I'd be out running amok too. But it had nothing to do with the protests. It's just people are going out to bars and they're hanging out and they're catching it. And it's super contagious. And that's how we're seeing the numbers are popping. It's basically younger people just getting out there that were doing the right thing for the first month and a half. But now they've been out. It's summertime. People are I see it every day here in Midtown.
Yeah, I also think, though, there's this misnomer that's been in people's minds. Because I'm young, it won't affect me. Because I'm young, it won't kill me. Because I'm young, it's not going to bother me, or I won't spread it as much. That's been the misnomer. And so, yeah, when you say you're not going to blame them, I will. Because I think that's been part of the mindset of people who are seeing older people be much more affected, and people with existing conditions be more affected with this. And so, yeah, I mean, now it's playing out. But as far as college football, you know, I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I've spoken with 3 high influential people in three different conferences that all said the same thing to me. I don't know what we're doing. And that told me everything I needed to know. That's why I said yesterday, this is a 50-50 deal. Nobody's willing to go out on a limb and say, yeah, for sure we're having it. Greg Sankey's not saying it. He's head of the most powerful conference in the country. He's not going to say that because they don't know. And so I'm curious to see what Brett has to say, though, right? Because he's an insider. He's a guy that talks to a lot of folks as well. And I'm curious if he's heard different as to where this is and what the contingency plans are. Because, Mike, there are only a few. You're not playing. You're playing conference-only games. You're trying to limit travel. And then what else are you doing? I mean, what else can you do when it comes to this particular sport? Yeah.
And as we said, this thing gets so sideways so quickly. So we try to, you know, try to keep the argument to sports. But again, it just gets people in, and they bring, as I said, use that word again, agenda, and whatever they're throwing out there. I don't know. Like, I look at the same stuff you do. Are some of the the testing numbers wrong? I don't know. Are less people? I thought I read last week that less people are dying, but more people are testing positive for it. And then you hear about all these athletes, younger guys, that are all asymptomatic. Like Emerson Hyndman just talked about it in a media session down in Orlando. He was one of the United players we learned tested positive for COVID-19, but he felt fine, and then he was able to go back and do his thing. So it's just frustrating.
And by the way, real quick, that's the only way we're going to find out, Mike, is if. Right. A guy tells us.
Correct.
Teams are not going to be obligated to tell us. If a player tells us out of his own mouth, that's different. But teams are not going to tell us X, Y, and Z player tested positive.
No, because if you read like today, I try as, and we always joke around, but where do you get your news from? Who do you trust? I try to get a wide swath, okay? I go with an East Coast paper. I go with the West Coast. I go read the LA Times, New York Post. I'm not saying reading the thing cover to cover. I'm just going through the headlines and seeing what's out there. And you and I have the columnists we like to read. And it just seems like there's no consistency. It's good here, it's bad there. I was just watching an IndyCar race. They had crowds in Ohio last week because they're allowed to go congregate, you know, and then, you know, down in North Carolina and Georgia, now things are changing. So I think, like, we're as frustrated as the average Joe, and you certainly hear it from what the athletes are saying. Like Jimmy Johnson a few days ago saying he didn't know what the heck was going on with his test.
You guys are more than welcome to chime in. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on radio.com as well. That is the free app that you can download, and we hope you have by now. If you haven't, you can take us wherever you are and listen to the show and listen to all of our shows here on 92.9 The Game. Charles Barkley, Mike, you mentioned, went on CNBC, basically was talking about where the NBA is, and I just want to get your thoughts on this and what people think about it. First and foremost, the NBA has been progressive in this. And when I say in this, I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 years ago, they were way ahead of the game and they didn't run into the problems that the NFL did because they've always seemingly given their players a platform and an opportunity to express themselves. So this is no different now in Orlando and with the state of where things are. I think the NBA was trying to be out in front of this and say, what do you guys think? What should we do? And for those of you who don't know, the NBA basically gave players a choice of 29 messages on their jerseys. That includes Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe, Equality. There's a variety. You can go look it up and see for yourself all the messages that, you know, guys had a choice to put on their jerseys. LeBron is not putting anything on his jersey, by the way. But Charles basically saying, are we getting away from the message? And, quote, this is his quote, we need police reform, we need prison reform. Those are number one and two things to focus on. We need the cops and good cops out there policing bad cops. We need to spend time focusing, you know, when we need, when we spend time focusing on what's on the jersey, that's going to defeat the purpose. And I just want to stick with that comment for a second, Mike. Does it help? Does it divide even more? Where are you at on this?
I don't know. I mean, you know, because it's funny. We talked about, like, Craig and I were joking about off the air. Like, I've spoke to my people. You know, by my people, I mean people that I grew up with that are not exactly the most open-minded, unfortunately, when it comes to things like this. You know, and when you see more than, you know, Black Lives Matter, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you how it is, guys. I'm not telling you. I'm just, don't kill the messenger. People start to roll their eyes. And I don't think, well, screw those people. Yes, I know, sir. But we're all trying to get everybody on the same page. When you start to split the message seven ways to Sunday, as Charles was saying, does that sort of, you know, does it further alienate people you're trying to bring into the conversation? That's the argument.
Yeah, and I do think it's fair, by the way. I'm all for awareness. You know, if you guys listened to the show last 2-3 months, you guys know where we are and where I stand on things. But I'm all for awareness and continuing to allow people to say and have the right to protest peacefully and do all the things that are going on. But when you talk about sports, and this is the comment for Charles, sports, he says, has been a place where fans could go and get away from reality. And it's interesting because I said, we talked about this, Mike, the world changed, right? And none of us control over it. When the world, the switch was flipped, we woke up and we went, oh, crap. And then things have happened since then. But I don't know if you're going to have this separation, okay, anymore, right, because of what has happened and what's been going on. And so before, where you say, well, yeah, sports are a place where fans can get away from reality. Yeah, but the reality has affected sports. And so now you've got players who feel obligated that they need to be able to say things and get their message out there. So I don't know, man. I agree with Charles because I think you can get away from what's important with the overload of the messaging sometimes. And I don't know if the NBA is doing that. I do commend them on the fact that they are giving these players an opportunity to speak their minds. And as I said, giving them a platform. And the NBA's behind this, by the way. It's not, you know, players are not like protesting. The NBA went to the players and said, what should we do?
Well,
so,
I mean, it's just, I think, you know, look at it from an advertising standpoint. Tell me if this argument makes sense to you. We do commercials, right? And sometimes when we do commercials, sometimes a client will come with and goes, I need you to mention point A, B, C, D, Z, X. I go, whoa. It's a 30-second commercial. You know, we got to get your phone number.
Too much.
So a singularity, a simple message, you know, a message we can all wrap our heads around. And that's something I think, you know, Black Lives Matter. It's simple. It's easy to understand. Now, again, you can spend. Look, the players have a right. If they're going to give them the right to wear these multiple options of jerseys, okay, then so be it. But like in England, you've seen the English Premier League, all the teams go out wearing Black Lives Matter. In Formula One, they had End Racism. Now, it's to Charles Barkley and Jay Williams' point in the conversation on CNBC, you know, it's like you got people breaking it down. Well, he's not kneeling. Why did this guy kneel and that guy didn't kneel? I mean, well, the guy's wearing the shirt and he's got his hand over his heart, you know. I mean, yeah. So, you know, and I love those. I think Daniel Kvyat's a Russian driver, says, I kneel before God. I don't kneel for anyone else. And that's, I mean, and you can't really argue with that. You know, we've heard African-American people say that. So it just, as I said, getting back to the initial point, I think a singularity of message is probably most effective in trying to communicate something to people. But again, these guys have their prerogatives. We'll see where it goes. But I get where Barkley's coming from.
I do too. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I think it's interesting in what he's saying about how the response may or may not be. Listen, I don't think, by the way, that the numbers for sports are going to be outrageous. Meaning, yeah, people are going to watch. People are watching MLS. They'll watch baseball. Mike, we'll watch the resume or the restart of the NBA.
Right.
These numbers aren't going to be what they normally are. There's just too much going on, man. People got stuff on their minds. I mean, it's supposed to be what it is. But, hell, Bo and I were talking about this. Have you seen the NBA schedule? They got games on at like 10 a.m.,
right.
Okay? So this is not like, hey, I had a hard day at work. I'm coming home, and I'm watching the Hawks tonight. This is not like a normal schedule. They're trying to get these games in so they can crown a champion. So I don't know what the numbers ultimately are going to look like, which may, some people may use that as an indicator and say, see, people aren't watching because of all this stuff. I don't know if that's true. I think that people aren't watching a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes back to, you know, how do you get people on board with this? I mean, you know, you got to shock people into, like, change, right? We talked about this. You know, the protests, the violent nature of it, not the things which that obviously we would sign off on, but it got people's attention, you know, and you and I have talked about this. You know, I mean, drove me to get involved with Matt Ryan's fund. I mean, but I get the feeling, the problem is, I think for guys like us who want to do something, how do I do it? What do I do? There's no leadership. You know, there's no, we just talked about it. What a singularity of message. We got a governor here who disagrees with the mayor. Okay. Nobody can get on the same page in our state, let alone the country. You know, well, how do we do? I think it's really, this is the kind of stuff, Carl, that comes from a grassroots effort. I mean, if we're going to bring things together, it starts with you and me and other people doing things and meeting with people and changing minds, or at least trying to get people on the same page, because we're getting nothing from it. There's no leadership in this country anywhere, any party. You know what I mean? So that's why, I mean, if it can come from sports and it's a message we can get our heads around, that's a great start.
So be
that's
it.
Why we
so
get back to Charles. Right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, Mike. I don't disagree. But to me, it's always been that way. I mean, it's always been ground roots.
Right.
I mean, you know, people ask me, I had people ask me this question. So what should I do? There are a ton of groups that people haven't not been aware of and organizations that have been trying to move this conversation forward. Now it's your chance to get involved with those groups that are already involved, if you want. If not, start your own.
Right.
I mean, that's where this is. I mean, so I agree. Hey, man, good stuff. Charles Barkley, if you want to go check it out, interesting comments on the NBA and the restart and messaging on the jerseys. Coming up, college football conversation with our buddy Brett McMurphy next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.